Hallelujah. Can we celebrate Jesus as we take our seat? Thank you so much for being such a blessing in stirring the streams of the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Is it possible for you to minister along with me? Just go light on the keyboard. Hallelujah. I want to welcome us once again tonight to God's presence. We're going to pick up from where we left off last night. We have been looking at the subject, manifestation of the sons of God. We saw that the bondage of corruption that came upon creation, for which reason creation yearns for sons to rise up one more time to manifest the essence of the Father, is actually a product of the rebellion of sons. When a son, who is supposed to be a projection of the Father, decided to rebel and occasioned a fall from glory, the fall brought the entire nature, the entire creation, into a state of perpetual decay. And it's going to take the rising of sons to bring creation back out of the power, out of the influence of the decay that creation currently suffers. A son, by definition, actually, is a projection of the Father. It's a representation of the Father. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus in the Lucan account, you see that Jesus was traced through the lineage of his father Joseph, all the way through David, through Abraham, through the patriarchs, all the way to Adam. And at the very terminating point, the scripture recorded an Adam, the son of God. So from there you see that Adam actually is a son of God. And this is a very, very important thing that we need to take note of, because in the biological process of the human life, you realize that normally when someone is identified as a son, there is an understanding that the person was given birth to by the parent, by the father. But in the kingdom, as we see in the records of scripture, when Adam was identified, maybe we should take a look at it very quickly so that it will not look like I'm making this up. Yeah. Can we go to, what's the passage? In Luke. Luke chapter 2. Sorry, just give me a moment, let me get my scriptures. Sorry, Luke chapter 3. Now, I'd like us to go to verse 21. And it reads, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended as in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as it were supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Martha, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jena, which was the son of Joseph. Now, I'd like us to skip in the reading to verse 37. Which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malalil, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Did you see that? So here the Bible clearly indicated that Adam was the son of God. But we know that God is not a human being, much less someone that can be subject to the natural engagement in the reproductive process. So by what understanding is Adam the son of God? Because in our natural life, when you say Mr. John is a son of Mr. Joseph, for example, it's naturally understood that it's a biological process. But here we are seeing Adam be identified as the son of God. The understanding we have to hold here is in the sense of being a projection of God, a representation of God, a creation of God. Are we together? So here, when you carefully look at this, you can see that in the creation of man, in the creation of Adam, the idea was for him to carry the image, to carry the likeness of God, so that he can wield the dominion of God as a vice regent in the domain of earth. If you even look at the prayer that Jesus led his disciple to pray, popularly called the Lord's Prayer, you see him saying that when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So it appears as though the idea of prayer here is to make possible the will of God to be done on earth the way the will of God is done in heaven. The question is, therefore, are you implying Jesus by this kind of prayer that without this prayer, the will of God may not be done on earth as it is in heaven? Have you ever asked that question? Because if something as serious as prayer, Jesus is giving a suggestion that we need to pray and ask that the will of God be done on earth the way it is done in heaven, then it just tells you that there is a high possibility that the will of God may never be done on earth the way it is done in heaven, if there are not men on earth to demand for that to be so. So a son in this case is supposed to represent the interest, represent the agenda, represent the ideology, represent the hopes of the father. So Adam is supposed to be that personality that ensures that the will of God is done on earth the way it is done in heaven. Why? From his creation, God said, let us make man that he should do what? Carry our image, carry our likeness in order for him to have dominion. That is to say, the dominion mandate, it's with respect. It's with respect to the nature of man that he was ordained to be. It is supposed to be with respect to the image of God that he is supposed to carry, the likeness of God that he is supposed to carry. That is where his dominion is supposed to stem from. Because it's very possible for man to wield dominion on earth, and the dominion is sourced. The dominion is a representation of another kind of image. Are you seeing the implication of what the fall therefore brings? Because due to the fall, we saw from last night that there was a change in man's nature. There was a change in the kind of dominion he could wield. Because now that he has become a slave of the serpent, by virtue of his yielding to the serpent, there is a new form of dominion that is now being wielded in the earth realm. He now has a new image. He now has a new nature, the serpentine nature. And if he is the one that was originally given the legitimate authority to wield dominion on earth, it just tells you that the kind of dominion that will be wielded on earth will be the dominion that emanates from his nature, from his essence. And now that his nature has become perverted into that of the serpent, hence the dominion of the serpent on natural creation. Are we following? And Jesus will come generations later in teaching his disciples in the art of praying and telling them that it is important to pray that the will of God be done on earth, because now we have a new kind of government here. We have a new kind of dominion here. Man has begun to represent a different kind of expression. He is no longer functioning out of the nature and the image and likeness of God anymore, but there is a new image that he had adopted, and that is where he functions from. And so, when we're talking about manifestation of sons, we need to realize how critical this is, because it has huge impact on the influence on earth, on nature. It has a huge impact on creation. It has a huge impact on society. In the Psalms, the psalmist says, the heaven, even the heavens is the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. That is to imply that whatever is going to happen in the earth realm is that to which the sons of men decides to give permission to. Is that which the sons of men decides to allow. Is that to which the sons of men have decided to permit. Because the earth realm has been given to the sons of men. And so, the tension therefore is, whoever gets the sons of men gets the earth. Whoever is in charge of influence on the sons of men therefore rules the earth realm. Whereas God in his pure essence is a God of glory. When he gets a hold of the sons of men, His glory you will see everywhere. But the serpent, by nature, being a perverted creature, who has already fallen from his original essence by the ordination of his creation, having gotten hold of the sons of men, therefore, you see decay, you see death, you see evil everywhere. The sons of men becomes the determining factor of what holds sway in the earth realm. And so, the need for prayer, to seek a divine intervention, for God to find space once again, because God is a God of justice. He will not violate his own rule. He will not violate his own standard. He will not violate what he has put in place. Having put man in charge of this place, therefore, he has decided to only intervene, to only interfere to the degree to which the person he placed in charge gives him allowance. So Jesus will say, when we pray, we should also demand that the will of the Father be done on earth. It's so interesting because in that prayer, the prayer seemed to be a religious register, a religious terminology. You will naturally expect that when the term prayer is used, it's not necessarily used in a family context. It is used in the context of religion. Do we agree? But here, when Jesus was to teach his disciples to pray, you see, it's so interesting. What the disciples asked Jesus is not a tutelage on how to pray. It is to pray. He said, teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray. These are men that are not novices in the art of prayer. They know how to pray. They have seen several examples while growing up. There were people in a very steeped culture of religion. And so, they have seen the disciples of John the Baptist. They have seen how John the Baptist taught them. As a matter of fact, there were two of John's disciples that actually migrated to him as a new mentor. You see, this thing we cry about today, it started long ago. The guy left my church and went to another church. They simply followed the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, it was a big deal in those days because people were complaining that this guy is getting more disciples than you, John. That guy you baptized some time ago that is supposed to be one of your proteges is sweeping the whole landscape now. But because John had a better understanding, he said, no, that's a new move of God. That's the reason why I came. So they were not ignorant of prayer. They asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when ye pray, implying that prayer is inevitable. Not if ye pray, but what? When ye pray. Prayer is inevitable. Prayer is a very, very powerful tool. He said, when ye pray, say, oh, our God in heaven. Is that what he said? Oh, the great spirit. Is that what he said? What did he say? Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Your name be hallowed. So if he is our Father, who are we? Who are we? Sons. So it will take sons to enforce the will of the Father on earth. It will take sons to execute the will of the Father on earth. It will take sons to insist that the will of the Father is done on earth. Another critical thing that becomes apparent in that prayer is the fact that even though originally it looked like a religious discussion, family matters were invoked in that discussion. But before you conclude that, is it not just an ordinary family? You begin to hear about kingdom ideas in the whole discussion. When he began to say, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. That is an idea that comes from a political context. Please, can you turn down the gain a little for me? Thank you. That is an idea that comes from a political context. Because whenever we are talking about the will within the context of how it is presented, thank you, the context in which it is presented, you realize that he is saying the will be done where? On earth. What is being invoked there is the idea of kingdom. Because a kingdom is actually a domain, a sphere, a region where the will of a monarch holds sway. Where the will of a king is implemented. Where the will of a sovereign is enforced. So this is not just any ordinary father. This is actually a king. And here Jesus is saying, a true son will demand that the will of this father who is a monarch be enforced on earth. Thy will be done on earth. And I want to quickly let you know that if there are not sons on ground on any territory to enforce the will of the Father, I assure you, in fact, I guarantee you that the will of God will not find expression there. Because the Father has already given the earth to the sons of men. Today you will wonder, well, God is almighty. Whether we pray or we don't pray, whatever God wants will ultimately happen. That may be true. The only unfortunate thing is, it may not happen in your time. It may not happen in your generation. Whatever God ultimately wants will eventually happen. That is true. The only challenge is, you might die and another generation will rise up and sons among them will begin to demand for his will to be done there before his will begin to find expression in that place. Do you realize that today we read the Bible, we read the Gospels, we read the Epistles, we read the New Testament, we hear names of physical earth locations, we hear names where the Gospel thrived, we hear names of cities that Paul writes to, we hear names of places that mighty feats of miracles were done. You hear names like Derbe, like Lystra. You hear names like Corinthians. You hear names like Ephesus. Where Paul did so much in his generation, the will of God found expression. We hear of some of those places. The Bible talks about the fact that how mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Why? There were sons in that generation that made that happen. I dare you to go to those places. Those names, when you read, you know, when we're children, when they tell us stories about the children of Israel, we used to imagine that it's one mystical location somewhere in the clouds. Have you ever felt that way? It was some years later, in 1981, when my father traveled for Jerusalem pilgrimage for the first time, and brought pictures of sites that he visited, Bible land. Then I began to have a struggle in my mind that, so these stories are actually human, literal, historical events that happened. So these children of Israel, the Red Sea, Palestine, is actually on this physical earth. Do you know that a lot of those New Testament Bible lands today, the will of God is not happening there right now as we speak. Why? The human beings there now don't acknowledge this Father we are talking about. Because a new generation has arisen in those territories who don't know him. And because they don't know him, his will is not currently finding expression there. So I dare you to know that the will of God will find it difficult to find expression where there are no sons. The will of God will not happen in a church where there are no sons. Evil will rule every territory. Darkness will take over every territory where there are no sons. And that is why darkness is bent on ensuring that no son arise. Hallelujah. Let's go to our text in Romans chapter 8 from verse 16, where we began the journey last night. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not compared to the glory which shall be revealed. This is one major reason why the prince of darkness had gotten advantage of sons that are supposed to rise. The challenge is, there is a present suffering. If you are going to be a son, there are some times that things will look hard. And the enemy will want to use those situations, those scenarios, those circumstances to make you forget who you are. Remember from last night, we saw how that the power of corruption contends for the mind of people, right? It tends to blind their mind from the glory of the Father. And in the process of blinding the mind, it gets them to become disconnected from the realities of who they are. There is a change of mindset. And because of this change of mindset, something very terrible begins to happen. They begin to forget the family name. That's something I want to take a few minutes to stress tonight. The family name. You realize that a lot has changed in this modern generation. But back in the days when we were children, during church conference, there's something interesting that used to happen. You know, those are conferences that we have, camp meetings, during break times, we eat together. And those days that, you know, there are these trays, round iron trays, they would put the food of many children where they will all gather around the tray. You know how we eat in an African context, where we eat from the same bowl and all of that. Now, it's in those situations, in those settings, you can tell the upbringing of each child. As all of us come to gather around the tree to eat, you will see the character, the nature. Some of us younger folks may not understand what I'm talking about. You see some children well compacted. They wait for the next person to reach out and eat before they try to eat. Whereas there are these other children that, my God, some of them from polygamous home where it's survival of the fittest. As you are reaching one, before you reach for the second one, they have gone like seven times. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, this whole setting begins to separate the children according to the kind of family they come from. You begin to see some children becoming more dominant on the food as the aggression is increasing. Some other children will become provoked and then they want to compete. And then there are these other children that in the face of this fierce contention, they begin to withdraw. They are not withdrawing because they are full. They are withdrawing because they know the family they come from. That is the story of our generation. If you take an average look on the landscape of the body of Christ, you can tell who is a child of God and know that they are children of God. The reason why the children that withdraw is because the name of their family, their family name, their father's name is more important to them than their stomach. Whereas, the ones that are driven by their belly have no value. The name of their father has no value. They can sell their father's name for anything. They are available to the highest bidder. They can engage in anything if they can get food to eat out of it. But children that are born of royalty, it doesn't matter their current physical condition. Their father's name trumps whatever kind of hardship that they can go through. They might even presently appear in rag. But when they step into the environment, the way their carriage is, the way they walk, in a few minutes you will not remember what they are wearing. Why? They are born of royalty. They are of royal blood. Whether they look haggard physically, whether they are broke, is not as important as the family they represent. They carry their father's name wherever they go to. They are not defined by their looks, by their situation, by anything else, but they are defined. They are too aware of who they are that they cannot sell out. They cannot sell their body for sex to survive if they are women. They cannot indulge in a criminal act or in a vile activity so that they can survive and live to see the next day. No.
They are born of royalty. They are too aware of who they are. That is what characterizes royalty.
Look around today. See the kind of despicable things that go on in church. It will tell you how modern day believers perceive themselves. Have you noticed that if you are dealing with a royalty, there's something that seems to characterize them. They are usually considered as people that are not streetwise. Right? Children that are properly born, properly raised. The vices you see on the street, it appears as though you can easily cheat them and get away with it. It's not because they don't have the capacity to be wild. It is because they cannot stoop too low beneath their family name. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, royalties don't engage in dogfight. If you know the family that you are coming from, there are some things you will rather prefer to be cheated than to be caught to see that you are raising your voice. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know whose you are? Don't you know the family you come from? Now, if the Father in heaven is your father, he said, there is no immediate suffering that can be compared to the glory that is about to be revealed. It is only someone who has either no family name, who has no father's name, that can indulge in criminal act, that can indulge in petty things. I'm using this example to bring home the point that if sons are going to rise to manifest, there is a critical need for something to be done to our mind first. To bring us to that place of recognition of the family we come from. It's a royal family. There are things that should not be heard of. There are stains that the family name is too precious to be rubbed with. That is the reason why you hear Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 saying that there are some things that should not be once mentioned among us. Why? Being considered as what? Saints. There is a family you come from. But you see, there are things that have become normative. The devil want to force it on us. He want to force it on us. The level of perversion in the church today is so normative now that if you hear a scandal, it's like, is it that one you are shouting about? You hear that a pastor slept with a lady, they say, okay, is it just that one? That you are just shouting, you are just complaining and making the whole noise about it. What's the big deal about that? You know, minister friend of mine was sharing with me how that a young minister became careless in his relationship with the sisters and he fell into sexual immorality and he was heartbroken. He was so broken that he ran to his senior pastor with so much heaviness of heart and was crying, I've messed up. Look at what I did. Is there mercy for me? Can God use me again? And he was just crying and he was devastated. When he was done talking, his senior pastor looked at him and said, my friend, keep quiet. You did it only once and you're not allowing somebody to hear. Do you know my friend, close your mouth. The devil want to make us to accept perversion as normative.
Whereas these are things that the Bible says there should not be once mentioned among us as saints. All kinds of despicable things going on. And you see, and the people love to have it so. Why? As long as I have my needs met, what can be so wrong with that? If at the end of the day, he prayed for me and I got my miracle, what can be so wrong with that? If at the end of the day, at least he paid my school fees, what can be so wrong with that? You don't know the family you come from. You have sold your family name for food. So you see believers indulging all kinds of perversion today because they are not aware of the name of the Father in heaven. If sons are going to rise, it's critical that we come back to our full identity. That whatever present suffering you think you are going through is nothing compared to the glory that is about to be revealed. That is what the scripture says. Whatever the difficulty, the hardship is, it's like a royalty that knows who he is. He knows that for whatever reason I found myself in this situation, it's a matter of time. I am of royal blood. In due time, I will be reinstated to my position. I am not going to sell out. I'm not going to indulge things that will come to haunt me when it is my time for manifestation. You see, a young lady was asked, if you know that in the future, you will not amount to anything, what kind of life will you live? She said, it really doesn't matter. If she's not going to amount to anything, she can be a prostitute, she can do anything she wants. It won't matter. Then I'll ask her, if you know that in your future, you are going to be a very important person in society, how will you live your life growing up? She said, if that will be the case, I'm going to be extremely careful because I don't want anything to come from my past to haunt me when I am in that important position. Hallelujah. There is a destiny of glory ahead of us. But how you manage your life now will determine whether you will arrive in that glory. Praise the Lord. So, the power of decay wants you to be ruled by the influence of either greed or fear, as we saw from last night. And that is why a lot of people are trapped in that vicious circle where they cannot rise up to their full potential in God. But you see, the Bible says it is going to take sons to enforce the will of the Father. It is going to take sons to execute, to implement the desires of God. We began to see how that sons originally are who? They are projections of the Father. Alright? They are supposed to represent, they are supposed to manifest the glory of the Father. The second point I want to emphasize tonight is the fact that in the process of manifestation, the voice must be distinct. The voice must be clear.
You see, when you are talking about a son, if we even decide to look at the biological process, you will realize that in the biological process, in the process of fertilization, where an egg is fertilized by a sperm cell, there are millions of sperm cells that are released, but it is only one single sperm cell that fertilizes an egg in order to have an individual. Are we following? So you see that an individual must of necessity have one father. Do we agree? Every individual must have one father. You cannot have an individual that have more than one father. That will be a chimera. That will not be a human being again. That is supposed to be an impossibility. Now, if the enemy cannot stop you from becoming a son, the next thing you want to do, if you want to insist to be a projection, to be a reflection of one spirit, of only God, he will want to share that expression with God in your life. You see, in the ancient Roman Empire, in the early days of the apostles, they were very, very religious. That's the reason why in Acts 17, you hear Paul talking about his experience in the streets of Athens when he said, when I went through your city, I saw that you guys were a very, very superstitious people. That is not a negative statement. That is actually a commendation. He's trying to say that the Athenians are very religious people because they have different altars to different gods, and they have altars to all the known gods, and then they decided to rear an altar just in case there is any god out there that they didn't know about yet. So they now have an altar to the unknown god. So the issue that they had with the early saints is just one thing. Now, they had a pantheon of gods. They have different deities. And just in case you come and introduce a new god, they don't have a problem with it. If all you are saying is, I have my new religion, I have my new god, I want to introduce to the society, they could have accommodated it. Are we together? It would not have been a problem. They were very progressive. They were very open-minded. They didn't have any problem. Okay? They didn't have any problem. So when Paul brought the gospel to their streets, they said, let's go and listen to what this new babbler has to say. Maybe it's something important that we can permit in our society. So if the believers of that Roman world came and said, we have this Jesus Christ that we want to introduce to you guys so that you guys will get to know him, and while you are doing your stuff, you have a space for him, they will not have had problem. But the problem is, when the believers came to introduce Jesus, the way they went about it is something that in today's world you will be considered bigoted. You know, a bigot is someone who is considered to be narrow-minded. Someone that is considered to be fanatical. Someone that is considered not to be open-minded. Someone considered not to be progressive. What the believers were demanding is, among this plethora of gods that the Romans worship, the Romans are supposed to shut down
all of them and come and follow only Jesus Christ.
I don't know if you are following me tonight.
That's what these few persons were demanding.
Number one, they are settlers.
Number two, most of them were peasants, everyday people. Many of them were slaves. When you read 1 Corinthians, you see Paul saying that, look at your calling, brethren. Not so many wise people, not so many intelligent people, not so many rich people. So if you look at that context, I mean, everyday folks, many of them were slaves. Some of them were artisans. They were the lowest of the society. And they are coming to a well-advanced society. A highly civilized society. A very influential society that have so many gods. They have arrests. As a matter of fact, at Athens, the mass hill, you know, it's called Areopagus, where Paul went to engage them. That's the hill of the god of war called Ares. They had Diana, the great god of the Ephesians. They had all kinds of deities all over the place with magnificent temples. And there are so many of them. And these few persons that are a bunch of nobodies are not even pleading that, please, can you find small space for our own Jesus Christ among this your pantheon of gods? What these persons are asking that is that, forget about all these things. We are not coming to share space. We are coming to take over. What should be the natural response to such kind of people? Other than killing them and wasting them away. Now, when we're talking about manifestation of the sons of God, we're talking about a situation where individuals are willing to rise up and be called fanatic, bigoted, narrow-minded people, because we are not about to share space with anybody. I don't know if you are following me tonight. You see, the modern civilization is trying to moralize an existence of mixture. Where you are an alloy, you are a mixture. The Holy Spirit is there. Another spirit is there. Different spirits. So you are a hybrid. You can pray in tongues. You can touch women. Once in a while, whatever works, your hand is there. You can still exercise your will. You can still do what you want. God is just a footnote in your life. You just add him. When we're talking about manifestation of sons, what we're looking at is the rise of a generation that are a projection of one spirit. There is no space for another deity. There is no space for another kind of lust. There is no space for another kind of influence. Remember, we said that the scripture revealed that where we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is because man is the one that gives permission to everything that goes on earth here. Are we following? So every time you see any supernatural phenomena in any territory, there is a human being that is allowing that thing to happen. Anytime you see a spiritual activity going on in any place, there is a human being that is intentionally funding
and sponsoring that supernatural activity going on there. It's priesthood you are seeing. It's priesthood you are seeing. There's nothing supernatural that can happen and you will not find a human being that is providing priesthood for it. And priesthood is a very interesting thing. Maybe I should take a few minutes to clarify some basic concepts about priesthood. Because when we're talking about the rise of sons to manifest, there is priesthood being implied in that context. Because sons will only manifest the image of their father. Are we together? And if this father is a spirit, then you are looking at a situation where human beings are supposed to give expression to the nature of God, to the image of God. And the implication is, just in case you are not manifesting God yet, that doesn't mean you are not manifesting at all. What it means is, you are currently manifesting another spirit. Are we following? So let me take us quickly through some understanding about priesthood. Let's begin from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Hebrews 5, verse 1. Let's look at the definition. A few definition of terms here. He said, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who are we looking at here? A priest, isn't it? Now, who is a priest? A priest is a person that provides a form of representation before God, who is a spirit, in things pertaining to human beings. So he is not just there on his own. He is there on behalf of a people. Are we following? And he is more of the mediator between the people and God. And how does he do it? By offering gifts and sacrifices. There's a whole lot captured in this one verse. So let's open them up quickly. First of all, what is a gift? A gift is something that can be used to make someone secure favor, isn't it? When someone gives you gifts, you are happy with the person, isn't it? They want to appease you. They want to make you happy. And then what's a sacrifice? A sacrifice is that which is used with the intention of turning away wrath. When someone is unhappy, you make it up for the person by what? Sacrifices. Are we following? So the first thing we are seeing here is what? Gifts and sacrifices. And what is the objective? The objective is either to secure attention by way of securing favor or what? Turn away wrath. Are we following? Okay. If you are going to offer a gift or a sacrifice, there has to be a location where you get to meet with the person you are giving it to, isn't it? So there must be an interface where the meeting is supposed to be for this exchange to happen. Usually, where are sacrifices placed? On altars, isn't it? Okay. For instance, if I want to give someone something and I'm in this hall and the person is outside, you know, there is a point where there must be some form of access for that exchange to happen. Are we following? So that access is what the altar represents.
So an altar is actually a portal, a doorway, an access point where the exchange is made possible between a person and a spirit. So wherever you place an altar, you have placed a door there. Are you following me? Let me say it again. Wherever you place an altar, what have you done? Because an altar is actually a door. If you want a particular spirit to show up here now, all you need is what? To place an altar. To place a sacrifice. Wherever that spirit is, if he's interested in that sacrifice, what will he do? So what have you done? You have brought that spirit here. Are you seeing why when we talk about prayer being synonymous to offering spiritual sacrifices to God? You hear David saying, let the lifting up of my hand be equivalent to what? Evening sacrifice. What is happening there? The person receiving that sacrifice has to come there. Have you noticed, for those of us that have given ourselves to prayer, when you begin to go to a particular place to spend time to pray often, a point come, there seem to be a presence that hover around that place. Why? You have created a door for God there. So he will always show up around there. So I've looked at a sacrifice. We have looked at what? An altar. Right? What is the next thing there? The priest. We have seen that the priest is the one that manages the entire arrangement. Are we following? So, in a particular sense, we can say that the priest is the one in charge of the traffic in and out between two domains, two dimensions. If a priest wants a spirit in a particular place, he is the one that will decide if a spirit will show up there. Why? He will go and open a door there by way of creating an altar there, by way of placing sacrifices there, and then the spirit to whom he is offering the sacrifice will be able to come in through that place. Are we following? The point I want to bring home is this. Priesthood can be very complex, yet it can be very, very simple to implement. Because a single individual can embody the entire priesthood architecture. So by these basic definitions, can you see that priesthood is actually an arrangement to make possible the interaction of personalities in the human realm and in the spirit world? Are you following me tonight? So, I said a single individual can embody the entire priesthood architecture that makes these possibilities happen. How is it possible? Let's look at what the Bible says. Have you read in 1 Corinthians where the Bible says, know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the living God. That means, you know, the temple is what houses the entire thing, isn't it? So an individual is what? A temple. Okay. Have you also read a passage where Peter says, for ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So you are what? A priest. And you are what? A temple. Are you following? In Romans chapter 12, what does the Bible say? Present your bodies as what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and well pleasing to the Lord. So are you seeing how one individual will be the temple, he will be the priest, he will be the sacrifice? If there is a sacrifice, of course, an altar is implied. Are you following? So at the end of the day, what do you have here? An individual is a mobile priesthood architecture. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9, quickly. Help me, Hebrews 10, 9. Okay, let's see 11. Verse 11. Now, look at this. He said, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often time. How many kinds of sacrifice? Same sacrifice. So this is to show you that sometimes the sacrifice might be the same kind of thing. And it is done often. Are we following? I want to bring something very important home for us. So that, you know, many times spiritual things, when they are taught, they usually appear very mystical. Your spirit is so high when you are under such teachings, and then when you get back home and you want to implement it, then you realize that there's a gap in your knowledge. There's a part they didn't tell you. And so the thing is just in the air. You don't know how to realize it physically. Have you ever felt that way? You hear a very powerful message. You were so blessed. By the time you got home, and now this is Monday afternoon, you want to implement that powerful thing they taught you. And then you realize that there seems to be an aspect that is missing. That's why I'm breaking this thing to very basic things that we could actually implement. Are we following? Now, let's look at sacrifice. We say sacrifice is what? That which appeases. Alright? Or that which can turn away wrath. That which can make someone happy. It's a gift. Are we following? Okay. What is the nature of gifts? You know, a gift can be a material object. For example, in the Old Testament, you hear God telling the people of Israel to make animal sacrifices, isn't it? And then at some other points, you will hear the Bible talking about the sacrifices of God are a contrite heart. Are we following? Do I still have your attention? Is the teaching becoming too long? Are you following me? The sacrifices of God are what? Are a contrite heart. That is to say, a sacrifice can be a material object, and a sacrifice can be an attitude, can be a lifestyle. Are we following? I want to make it as basic as possible for us to grasp. So, if a sacrifice can be an attitude, if a sacrifice can be a lifestyle, it therefore means that a simple behavior that you put on display can make somebody happy with you. And that can be considered a gift that can bring their attention there. Are we following? Okay. We have said that if you present an offering, if you present a gift, if you present a sacrifice, a spirit will come to receive it. And by coming, they have come into this space. And when they show up with their essence. They bring influence. It's just like when the presence of God shows up. The things that are possible where God is begins to happen. Are we following? When the presence of God is in a place, you realize that the fear of God, the nature of righteousness, the desire to live holy will begin to become possible. Are we together?
Okay.
We have said that if you are not manifesting God, you are manifesting something. If someone lies, for example, is there any spirit that will feel happy about it? Is there any spirit out there that will feel happy about it? What is it called? A lying spirit, isn't it? Have you realized that whenever you lie, you are engaging priesthood to the lying spirit? Let me give you a practical example. How many of you have noticed this phenomena where you have a very small, closely knit nuclear family, just the parents and the children? And the children are raised in a very God-fearing manner, never tells lies, very honest, behaves well. And then after a while, a relative within the age range of the children is brought from somewhere, either a cousin or a nephew, and then he hangs around for a few weeks. Then you get to notice that one of these children in the family that had never lied before suddenly starts lying. What's happening? There is a priest that showed up in that family. And as he exhibits his priesthood, the influence comes on the people around. Have you noticed that some of the traits we picked up as children, we picked up when some relatives visited us and stayed for 2 weeks? There were mobile shrines. And as they are, wherever they are, their life is an offering, is a sacrifice to whatever spirit that they live out their lifestyles for. And I need you to know that the human being has capacity to service different kinds of altars. The altar of sexual perversion, the altar of drunkenness, the altar of lying, the altar of stealing. That's why the madman of Gadara said, "We are legion." That's one individual. He had the capacity to service all the spirits. So when we're talking about manifestation of sons, one major implication is sons that will rise up to reflect only one image, to represent only the spirit of the Father, to begin to exercise priesthood only to the Holy Ghost, that even though it's possible for different influences, different spirits to operate my body, even though I have capacity for different softwares to be installed, I am not going to be operated by any other spirit other than the Holy Ghost. That's the implication. There is no space. Like the early saints are saying that in Ephesus, there are so many gods. But by the time they began to exercise their priesthood, a point came that the Bible says so many people began to bring their idols because there is only one that must rise and be made to rise above all else. That in my life, I am not going to have room for another kind of lust. I am not going to have space for another kind of spirit. I am not going to have space for another kind of desire. Only the Holy Ghost will operate my vessel. I am a true son of my Father. I don't have different fathers laying claim to me.
Today I am a child of God. In the next minute I am a child of something else. Different kinds of spirits can find space. Just like the situation of Peter. In one moment, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of my Father gave you this direct revelation now." Few minutes later, he is taking Jesus aside and say, "Don't you dare tell us about your death." And Jesus is looking at the same person that he told moments before, "My Father revealed this to you." He is calling the person, "Satan, get behind me." That is someone that different spirits have begun to operate his vessel. The prayer tonight is simple. Number one, I'm born of royalty. I rise above beggarly existence. From today, I remember my Father's name. I will not sell his name for food again. I will not sell his name to survive. I will not betray my family name. I'm not going to have space for another influence in my life. Only the Holy Ghost will operate my vessel. Only the Holy Ghost will operate my vessel. Only the Holy Ghost will wield influence in my life. I am not going to exhibit priesthood to another influence. Every attitude you demonstrate, every lust you give expression to, it is an offering that the Spirit comes to receive. And as long as you continue to give expression to that attitude, you are empowering the influence of that spirit in your space. Both in your life and in the life of people close to you. The question is for you to have some introspection. Take an inventory of your usual attitude. You will know how many spirits you have been a priest unto. Can we bow our heads tonight? I don't know what you've heard, but the issue of manifestation is a very serious issue. It's a very serious issue. Being a son implies we must give expression to our Father. We must be a projection of our God, of our Father. Can you begin to speak to God tonight? Liba halayanash. Sokombra dambregedegedegedosh. The bondage of corruption wants us to forget our family name. Want us to live beggarly lives subject to our appetites. A life subject to our greed, subject to our fears, subject to our anxieties. Can we rebel against corruption tonight? Can we rise above every base elementary influences that want us to be lower than what God has for us? The fear of the unknown has pushed a lot of people into making poor choices, bad choices in life. How am I going to survive if I don't accept this proposal? How will I make it? And all these fears has pushed men and women into making bad choices, making poor choices. How will I make it? What if I become stranded? These are the things that drive men and compel them to make bad choices in life. Can you rebel against that influence tonight? No other spirit will operate me. Fear will not make me make bad choices that will bring shame to the name of God.
Fear of being stranded. Fear of not being able to meet up. Fear of what people will say. Fear of being called a bigot. Fear of being considered antisocial. All kinds of fear push men and women into making poor choices. They don't have a distinct voice. They don't have a clear sound that I stand for Jesus. Whether I'm popular or not, my stand is firm. My position is clear. I'm not trying to be liked by everybody. I'm not trying to be accepted. I'm not sharing space with another spirit. Only Jesus have my heart. Only Jesus have my soul.
Shadabaranta, Elanto Balate, Ekaba Balata, Jatenda la Braga da Galabara Galabarush, Rada da Bada 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 Bala Balabarush, Rababada Bada Bala 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 Balabarush.
Perhaps tonight you have realized that there are some influences that you have been unknowingly servicing their altar because of some kind of lifestyle you have lived over time. You may want to renounce those altars tonight. You may want to renounce those priesthood tonight. You may want to renounce those priesthood tonight. Can you begin to renounce every influence that is not of God in your life? Every influence that is not of God, that comes to compel you to do what you don't want to do. Can you renounce it tonight? Can you bring an end to all such priesthood in your life?
Kekapahata mateke lambra zutelege badash lombra babalatiga bayagala baragadosh sando boronto lembras kata brendele beregele bedosh Libaragadagala baragala balabarush. Shandala bregadagale baragala balabarush. Shabada bada bala barabala bala balabarush. Rata da 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 baragala baragala bala balabarush. Zanto balate. Ekababa balabarush. Ekababa bala barabala barush. Landala bregadagale baragala barush. Lato kopata. Ekapalato. Rabababadash. Rabababadash. Rabababadash.
Can you rebel against the devil tonight? Let such influence break. Let such influence break. Let such influence break over your life.
Shateke pahalate. Ikanto pahatandaliadosh. Ratandala bregadegele baragadosh. Shandala bregalinta. Ikanto bahalata. Rateke pahala baragadash, rabababababababadash, shabada balabaragalabadash, shabada balabaragalabarabalabadash, shabada balabaragadagalabaragalabadash, ratom balante, elanta balate, ikanda labarata, lambreson tolombras kade, iadabante, bantelim vrezigadagalanta.
Can you ask for grace? Grace to present an accurate priesthood that you can carry the presence of God. Grace to begin to engage in active priesthood that can compel God's presence to where you are. An empowerment, an endowment. That God will release a grace for prayer, a grace for supplication, by which you can bring the presence of God to a territory. That is how sons manifest. That is how sons manifest. When sons begin to rise and demand that your will be done in my family, your will be done in my workplace, your will be done in my neighborhood, your will be done in my city. When accurate sons begin to rise up and begin to engage priesthood, they begin to bring the influence of heaven to their domain, to their territory.
Keko pate, ekapalata, ekambrazutalika, jate kembalalato, ebato koparalabadash, jantombregedegelebergedosh, ekandala brantalianto, zababadabadabalabarabadosh, jabadabalabaragadagalabaragadash. Elato kopahata la baragadash. Elato kapranto lambras kalita. Elanta la bregedegele baragalabadosh. Shanda la bres kuntalita. Manto kumba la nananto. Labranto kunde le bregedesh. Rabababababababosh. Rabababababababababadash. Rabababababababababadosh. Ekanto pahata.
Can you pray tonight?
Lanta la braga daga la baraga la badosh. Lento ko braga daga la baraga la balaba la badosh. Shabada bala baraba la badosh. Shabada bala baraba da bala badosh. Shanda la baraga daga daga la balaba la badosh. Ikata palate. Ikata palate.
Can you engage priesthood? Can you engage priesthood?
Ikaba ba 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 bush. Ikaba ba 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 ba. Ekabababababababalabadash, ekabarabadabalabalabalabadash, ekabaragadagalabaragalabadash, ratakanto balate, elambra badabalabalabadash, elambra babadabalabalabadash, elambra babababababababu, ekate, 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 rapatu andalita.
He said every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes same kinds of sacrifice. When you begin to offer the sacrifice of prayer every day, very often, you bring the presence of God to that place. Can you ask for the grace of prayer? Can you ask for an impartation of the Spirit of supplication, by which you can carry out priesthood as a true son of the kingdom to beg the purposes of God in your territory, to beg the purposes of God in your family, to beg the purposes of God in your workplace?
Kipo kapa ratabalate elambra zatala baragadosh. Ela baraga daga la baraga dosh, shababa la baraga la balaba dosh, ratando lo brege dega le baraga dosh, ekaba ba 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 ba. Shabada baraba da ba la baraga la dosh, raba ba 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 la ba dosh, lanta balate, ela toko palala, ela ta pranta liga dosh. Shate ke ponto malebrati labadash errakambolanianto enkompalanati ishada labarabadosh elandala bregedesh rabababosha rabababadash rabadabalabadosh rabadabalabalabadosh ekopahata labadash shantala bregedegale bregedosh
rabadabalabadabalabalabadosh. Rabada bala bada bada bala 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 barosh. Shabada bala baraga daga la baraga la bala barosh. Shabala baraga daga la baraga la bada bala bala barosh.
Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Let only you be praised. Let only you be praised. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Over my life, oh Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen. Over this land, oh, over this land, oh, Yahweh. Over this land, oh, Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen over this land, oh. Over this land, oh Yahweh. Let only you be seen. Let only you be seen over this land, oh. Over this land, oh Yahweh, let only you be seen. Let only you, Yahweh, you be praised. Yahweh, you be praised. Yahweh, you be praised. Let you be praised. Yahweh, you Yahweh, you be praised. Yahweh, you be praised. Yahweh, you be praised. Yahweh, you be praised. Malata. Malata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In this atmosphere of God's presence, is there anyone with any form of infirmity? You have any pain in your body, any affliction? The power of God is present to heal. Anybody? If it's a physical pain, can you place your hand in that part of your body? If it's a physical pain, please, can we be silent everywhere? If it's a disease, if it's not a physical pain in your body, you can place your hand on your head. But if it's a pain in your body, you can place your hand where you feel the pain. And Father, we take authority over every sickness, every disease, every affliction in the lives of your people. Pain, we command you to leave now. In the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I pronounce you whole. In the name of Jesus. I break the hold of affliction over your body. I break the hold of sickness and disease. I take authority over you now. I command you, be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for perfect healing. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. If it's something you can check here now, can you check your body? If it's something you can check here now, can you do what you couldn't do before? Because God is healing right now. God is healing right now. I sense the power of God. But if it's something you need to run a lab test to confirm, I strongly advise you to go to the lab tomorrow and run a test, because God is taking away sicknesses and diseases. So for those of you that have it as a physical pain that you can you check now if you notice any difference? You indicate and let us know. If it's something you can check now. Yes. You notice a change in your body. Can we celebrate Jesus? Anybody else? If it's something you can check here right now, check, because God is taking away sickness. You notice a change in your body. Can you come to the front? Very quickly, we take your testimonies as we close. Very quickly,
Can we have the other mic? Maybe we can use one of these cord mics.